to be praised. How many of y'all know he's worthy to be praised? He is worthy. All right, we can do a little better than that now. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. I'm not talking about praising the preacher or praising the choir. I'm saying God, Jesus, is worthy to be praised. He woke us up this morning, put food on the table, put clothes on our back, gave us reasonable health and strength, gave us salvation. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, if you can stand, and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, but it's also in your bulletin. I'm taking a couple of weeks off from the Ten Commandments series and preach a couple of seasonal messages, if you will. Luke chapter 2, very familiar passage of scripture, Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 in your hearing. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her, for Mary, to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, that's Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm going to preach this morning from this about the true Christmas story. The true Christmas story. You may be seated. The true Christmas story. The true Christmas story. Dear Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Bless your people, dear God, with ears to hear, but not just ears to hear, but the willingness to apply what thus saith the Lord. Let us all leave here, as I heard prayed earlier, more surrendered to Christ, closer to Christ, more in love with Christ than when we first came. And we will always give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise that you and you alone are worthy of. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. The true Christmas story, the true Christmas story. You know, if a person from a remote island or from an isolated place, a jungle or somewhere, if a person from an area like that and they did not know anything about America, they did not know anything about Christmas, but they were sent to the United States on an assignment to find out what Christmas is all about, what would they find? What do you think they would find? I could see them coming here and maybe landing somewhere out near one of our malls, and they would maybe write in their journal. I see massive traffic, and I see people fighting over parking spots. And I see these people coming out with these big bags and all kind of stuff in their hands. And this would probably really blow their mind. And I even see trees with lights all in the trees. I've never seen anything like that. And I even see this little pudgy fellow in a red suit. And then I see people ringing bells, and oddly enough, people come to the people ringing the bells and they drop money in there. This, and I hear also people keep saying about happy holiday, but they never really say what the holiday really is. He writes in his journal, this is a strange celebration, this Christmas celebration. I must report back that I'm confused. I don't really know what it's all about, he writes. Sadly to say, he writes this to his headquarters, if you will. Sadly to say, this has been a failed mission. Now, while that is somewhat a somewhat comical parable, unfortunately, there's a lot of truth in it. You as well as I know that Christmas here in America, really Christ has gotten almost squeezed out of Christmas. The one that we should be celebrating. Now think about this. If you had a birthday party and you went to the party and people just totally ignored you, you would probably say something is wrong with this birthday party. But this time of year, even though we know that Christ probably wasn't born this time of year, but I often say that's a side note. I'm just glad that he was born. If he was born in December, January, February, July, be glad that he was born. Keep the main thing the main thing. So this is when we celebrate his birthday, we oftentimes we put him on the back burner. It's kind of like some of those yards. I like driving around and looking at people's decorations and stuff, and I've shared this before, but oftentimes you would see these yards and they'd be cluttered with all kind of stuff. Of course, they had a red pudgy fella. They have him in the yard and his reindeer, Rudolph. You know, I like Rudolph, but Rudolph, they have the, you know, Frosty the Snowman, and they even had a Grinch. I like the Grinch. He's a mean one. It's the Grinch. And then somewhere on the outer part of the yard, you might see a manger scene with the baby Jesus. So it is in our lives sometimes, saints. If we're not careful, even this time of year, we'll put Christ on the back burner. I mean, a lot of things that we do, a lot of things that you and I do are good things. I'm not saying a lot of these things are bad things, and sometimes we do things we shouldn't be doing. But a lot of times, these are good things, but they're not the best thing. Christ is the reason. I know it's a cliche, but Christ is indeed the reason for the season. He is the reason for the season. He is the true Christmas story, Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to glance briefly at this first Christmas morning. And it's a very familiar passage of scripture. I've preached it here a few years ago. So oftentimes when we open up the word of God to a familiar passage of scripture, if you're not careful, you'll be like, well, I've heard that before. I've read it before. I've heard it preached before. But this is the word of God. It's living. It's active. It's sharp and any two-edged sword. So you and I should know I can read the same passage of scripture over and over and over. And God gives me new insight, gives me new application, new things I didn't see before. So this morning, just track with me this morning. We're going to go through Luke chapter 2 and see the true meaning of Christmas, the true Christmas story. So in verses 6 and 7, I just read them. And it's amazing that Jesus himself, when he's about to be born, there was no room for him in the inn. Do you make room for Jesus in your life? Make sure this Christmas, and make sure as we transition into 2018 that you make room for Jesus. Make room for him in your life, in your heart, in your mind. One thing as your pastor, I'm going to encourage all of us to consistently begin reading your Bible. Now, some of you probably do that. Some of you do not do that. So as we head into 2018, I want to lovingly challenge you to begin to read your Bible consistently. And don't just read it, but read it and apply it. But, you know, we have these daily breads. Often we put them out on the credenza. That's one way. If you're not reading your Bible at all, at least start reading the daily bread. Read a little bit, a little page, a little small book. And even in that daily bread, they have a reading pattern. If you follow it all the way through, you read the Bible in a whole year. So read your daily bread. That's one way. But also, right out there on the credenza, we have the readings for the New Testament and the reading from the Old Testament. So if you want to read through the New Testament in 2018, we have that format for you. If you want to read through the Old Testament in 2018, we have that for you. If you want to read through the whole Bible in 2018, that's provided for you. So one of the ways that you and I can make room for Jesus in our heart, in our mind, is by saturating our heart and mind with the Word of God. You can't get it by osmosis. You got to spend some time in the Word of God. That's one of the ways you can make room for Jesus in your life. And like I said, don't just read it, but read it for understanding and then use it for application. Don't just be a hearer or a reader of the Word of God, but be a doer of the Word of God. So write this down. You and I should make room for Jesus in our lives. Make room for Jesus in your life. Then also verse 8 and 9 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. First of all, verse 8, these shepherds were not that well respected. Shepherds were kind of low on the social totem pole, if you will. As a matter of fact, if you were having a Christmas get together, you would probably not invite the shepherds. You know, you just probably wouldn't. I mean, they were smelly and they were all out there in the field and they just weren't really that highly respected. But God chose the shepherds. He chose his angels to go to the shepherd. Isn't that just like our God? He often chooses the most unlikeliest person, the unlikeliest people to use them in a mighty way. He chose a guy by the name of Saul, who was a church persecutor. God chose him to be a church planter, and God used him to write roughly half of the New Testament. God chose Rahab, Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute, and he chose her to have Jesus Christ in her lineage. God often chooses the most unlikeliest of people. God and Jesus chose this despised tax collector by the name of Matthew and got him and used him to follow Christ. And he even wrote a book in the Bible. God chose, cutting off the ear of Peter. He chose him, even though Peter denied him. And God used him to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls got saved. God has a way of choosing the least likeliest people to use him in a mighty way. He does it because, you know, you can't say, well, he was so great or she was so great. You would say, God used them in a great way. God chose this guy by the name of Moses, who was an ex-murderer. He chose him to lead his people out of Egypt. God chose Noah to build an ark, and Noah got off the ark and got drunk. God chose Gideon, who was just a regular, average guy, and God chose him and turned him into a mighty warrior. God chose a little shepherd boy by the name of David. I'm just doing a biblical call, a roll call to show how God has used regular people to do awesome and mighty things. He took David, a little shepherd boy, a little teenage shepherd boy, and used him to slay a big old giant. Wait a minute. God chose you and me to be born, to be saved again, to be saved, and uses us in a mighty way. God is an awesome God. He chooses whom he wished to choose and uses us to do mighty things. So this angel shows up and begins to engage the shepherds. And the Bible said the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, these are not everyday occurrences for angels just to show up. These are not everyday occurrences. This is like Moses, God speaking to him through the burning bush. This is like the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ showing up before Gideon. This is like the Lord coming down into the fiery furnace to be with the three Hebrew boys. This is like the Lord Jesus Christ himself being transfigured as he went up before three of his disciples. These are unique and rare experiences. Matter of fact, theologians refer to them as theophanies or Christophanies. It's when God shows up. It's when he sends an angel. These are not just everyday occurrences. And so the Bible says they were afraid. And guess what? You would have been afraid too. If an angel just showed up and the glory of the Lord shone around you, you would be afraid too. Again, this doesn't happen every day, but check this out. A virgin birth doesn't happen every day. Matter of fact, a virgin birth hadn't happened up until that time. And guess what? A virgin birth never will happen again. This is the very unique. This is the only time think about it. A lady being pregnant, but never knowing a man. A virgin birth. That in and of itself is like an oxymoron. Those are mutually exclusive. But Mary was a virgin, but yet she was pregnant with Jesus Christ. The Bible said the Holy Spirit came upon her. Beloved, that's one of the tenets of the Christian faith. That's one of the things that we stand on. We serve a Savior, a Lord, a Christ who was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. This is a true Christmas story. Merry Christmas. This is the true Christmas story. Christ being born of a virgin. Now let's look and see what this angel said in verses 10 and 11 to these shepherds. Verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I'm sure that was good news to the shepherds who were afraid. The angel said, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel said, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good tidings. I bring you the gospel. I bring you the good news. I bring you good tidings of a great joy. He said, I got some good news for you. You know, the word gospel literally means good news. I said, the gospel literally means good news. Isn't it good news that God can take a sinner like me and a sinner like you, and you come to him and confess your sin and repent and turn to him? He can take us and cancel the payment of our sin and give us heaven, give us an eternal life. And not only cancel the penalty of sin, but also cancel the power of sin. That's good news. That's good news that I was lost and deep and sinking deep in my sin. But oh, Jesus came and saved me. That's good news. No matter how much work you would have done, or how much work I would have tried to do for his good works, it never would have been enough. But by his grace, by his mercy, Christ came and died for us, died for you, died for me. Oh, that's good news. I can't let that go. That's good news. That's good news. So this angel, another word for angel means herald, a messenger. He came to give this great message to the shepherds, and the shepherds are going to go and tell others, and even we this morning are benefiting from it. Guess what, beloved? You and I are called to be like an angel. You and I are called to be a herald. You and I are called to be a messenger. We can tell people today, tomorrow, next week, next month, that, hey, you don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to live a life with no joy, no peace. You don't have to be trying to earn your way to heaven. You can just give your life to Jesus. You can just surrender to him. Say, I come just as I am, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. So you can be a herald. I can be a herald. Just tell people the good news. Tell them what Christ has done in your life. Tell them to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. So this angel, he was a herald. He was a messenger. Told them the good news. Told them the good news. And he told them about in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. He said, there will be born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior. That's the good news. Because a Savior, anybody know what a Savior does? Duh, a Savior, he saves. A Savior saves. He saves. A Savior saves. So God said, I so love you that I'm going to send a Savior, my son, my only begotten son, to save you from your sins. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ means he's Messiah. He's the anointed one. You know, many of our Jewish brethren, they're still looking for the Messiah. The Messiah has already come. He's already come. He is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's Christ the Lord. In this verse, Lord means the master. It also means God. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ who is master. He is Christ who is God. That verse even right there, let us know, reaffirms once again the deity of Christ, that he is God in the flesh. You know, our Lord, our Savior, he is all God, yet still all man. He is all God, yet all man. Because he went to the cross, you can't kill God, so he died on the cross, if you will. He's all God, yet all man, the deity and the humanity of Christ. And so this angel gives them this good news. But a Savior has come. Christ has come. And I once again reamplify and reiterate this morning. That's some good news, saints, that Christ has come. The Savior has come. He has come. Verses 12 through 14, he continues on. He says, and this will be the sign to you, shepherds. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Watch this. First, it was one angel. Then now verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with this one angel a multitude. In other words, a bunch of them. Somebody say a bunch of them. A bunch of them. A multitude of the heavenly hosts, the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God. Picture this scene. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all men. I mean, these are some shepherds out there watching their sheep by night. An angel shows up and begin to tell them the good news. Then a multitude of angels show up and begin to praise and glorify God and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Aren't you glad that God said peace and goodwill toward you, me, all men? Oh, that's good news. And they gave some instructions. He said, you would go in verse 12 and you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. They gave this message. And then he told them that, of course, Savior is born today. He's born for you. And this morning, if you have received him, you ought to say hallelujah. You ought to say, thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. But if you have not received him, I implore you today to give your life to Christ today, because he's a Savior. He's a Savior. He's a Savior. So they said, go and see this thing, this thing that we have said. Go and see it. So verse 15. So it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, after they had praised God and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. After they had done that, they went back into heaven. And then the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord, not the angel, they were just spokesmen for the Lord, which the Lord has made known to us. So follow this, saints. These shepherds got information about Jesus. They didn't just receive the information, but they acted on the information. Some of y'all not with me. They got information from the angels who were speaking for God. They not only got the information, but they acted on the information. Some of y'all still not getting it. Let me make it real plain for you. This is our information right here. These are our instructions right here. God speaks to me and you from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He speaks to us. So our part is to act on what he has said. To do what he says do, to don't do what he says not to do. Our part is to be like the shepherds, to do what God has said. Apply what you know, saints. Once again, this is a true Christmas story. You know, I don't care if you get every material gift for Christmas that you desire. If you don't make Christ the center of your Christmas, it's going to be still a somewhat empty and hollow holiday. So make this Christmas about Christ. Minister Terman said it earlier, for all of us, but definitely even for our young kids. We're say, hey, I want to get this gift, get that gift. Tell your parents, maybe, well, hold back some of those gifts and let's take some of that money and bless someone else. Really, Christmas is about giving, not just receiving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving. God gave the first and greatest Christmas gift. Once again, he gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should emulate him and be a giving person this Christmas, more so than just a getting person. Now, somebody want to bless you with a gift here and there. That's cool, too. But be a giving person. So write this down out of that verse right there. Apply to your life the things that the Lord makes known to you. Apply to your life the things that the Lord makes known to you. Once again, the shepherd said, man, the Lord has made this known to us. So let us go and see. Let us go see for ourselves. Let us go see. Most of the time, our problem is not more information, but it's simply application of what you and I already know. Most of the time it's not information, but it's application of what we already know. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite writers, A.W. Tozer said this. He said, religion can only reform a person's life. It cannot transform a person's life. Only the Holy Spirit can transform a life. So basically he was saying, just being religious, just coming to church, just getting more information, that won't get it. That might reform you a little bit, but you need to be transformed. You and I need to be transformed, and we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so these shepherds, once again, they had information, but they said, let's do something with this information. And so they said, let us go and see. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Taking notes, write this down again. Write this down. You can trust God's word. You can trust God's word. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he said it, it's going to come to pass. He cannot lie. In God, there is light and there is no darkness at all. You can trust God's word. See, look with me again. Verse 12, the angel told him, say, hey, look, go and this is going to be a sign. You're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's what the angel told him, right? The angel told him, say, if y'all go, this is what y'all going to find. Guess what? As they went, verse 16 says, and when they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So you can trust God's word. God had told them, this is what you would find. And guess what? They went there and that's exactly what they found. You can always trust the word of God. You can always trust the directives of the Lord. Also verse 17, as I hasten on, verse 17 says, I said this once again, this is a true Christmas story. Verse 17 says, now when they had seen him, when they had seen Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So if you're taking notes, write this down again. Write this down. They told others about Jesus. They told others about Jesus. They said they made widely known this thing that they had heard from the angels. They made it widely known, the Bible says. They told them all those things. They made it widely known. You and I should do the same this week. Make it a point to tell somebody. Here's an application. Make sure you get this application out of the sermon. If you don't know how to get anything else, here's a great application point. Make sure this week you tell somebody about Jesus. To tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a witness. Acts 1:8, Jesus, you would be my witnesses. Now see, this time of year, just kind of like even with Easter, this time of year, oftentimes the door is kind of left ajar. The door is left a little more open to talk about spiritual things, to talk about Christ. You know, people may be saying something like, well, when was he born? I don't think he was born in December. Well, that's a sweat segue. You can go in and begin to talk to him about, maybe he wasn't. I don't know, but this is what he did. He came to die for your sins and my sins. He came because God so loved this world. So tell somebody about Jesus this week. Share the good news, the gospel, how God's only son provides eternal life. Share the good news with somebody this week, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Be like Paul. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It is the power unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Be like the shepherds. Tell somebody about Jesus. Be a witness this week. And so the shepherds made this saying widely known of what the angels had told them concerning this child. And verse 18 says, and all those who heard it marveled. They marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I think sadly to say, many of us today, we've lost the awe, the marveling, the amazement, the uniqueness of this Christmas message. It's been lost over the years. It's been lost. How about you? Do you still marvel? Are you still amazed at the fact that Christ would come and that he would be born of a virgin, that he would heal people while he's here on earth? Do you still have amazement and awe at this true Christmas story that Jesus Christ came and died for you and for me, that God so loved us, he sent his son, Jesus? That should be amazing to us. That should just thrill us every time we hear it. We should just say, man, that's amazing. How could that happen? How did that happen? So they were marveled. So never lose the amazing. I know shortly after I got saved, I remember, for many of us, if not should be all of us, when you first get saved, when you realize that you were on the road to hell, but now you're on the road to heaven, you realize you were far from God, but now somebody know what I'm talking about, but now you're closer to God, you realize that you were dead spiritually, but now you are alive spiritually. And I was just elated. I was just excited. And I asked the Lord, Lord, please always keep me with that type of zeal. Never let me get too comfortable or casual or just take it for granted that I am saved, that I'm born again, that I'm, this is an amazing thing, I got a relationship with you, the true and living God who created me. Let me never just go lukewarm in this relationship. Let me never just say, well, that's no big deal. Yeah, I got saved 30 years. No, let me always be, just like I got saved today, let me always be excited that I'm born again. Oh, I'm born again. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The joy of the Lord is our salvation. So the joy of the Lord is our strength, brother. So they were in awe. People were marveled. Because once again, saints, like I said, I think we hear it so often, but Jesus was born of a virgin. I'm not going to even call his name because I don't know for sure. I haven't ask him about it, but there was allegedly a pastor in this city of a pretty significant church who allegedly didn't believe in the virgin birth. See, just because you can't understand it don't mean you can't believe in it. I don't understand the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, but I know it's true. I believe in it. I don't understand the virgin, but I don't understand, but I know it happened. I believe in it. I don't know how Jesus can be all God yet all man. I don't understand it, but I know it's true. See, if everything that God did, if we understood everything that God did, that would mean God would be no bigger than my little old bit of mine, your little old bit of mine. I think it was Pastor Smith, the founding pastor here, used to talk about how you know, when you start thinking about trying to understand who God is, it's like taking a little thimble, a little top of a bottle, and going out to the Pacific Ocean trying to put all the water in there. I mean, God is big. He's awesome. We can't totally understand God, but we can love him. We can worship him. We can praise him. We can take whatever the Bible says as true about him. But they left and they went. They were excited. Verse 19 and 20. I'm almost through. Verse 19 and 20. I'm going to be maybe the shortest man in town today. I'm about 19 and 2. I'm almost through. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. They were saying all this about her little baby Jesus. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let me read verse 20 again. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. See, because the shepherds acted on the word of God, they got to see Jesus. They listened to the angel that our Heavenly Father had sent, and they got to see Jesus. So write this down. You got to listen to God and obey God to fully experience God. Oh, I said something right there. I need to say that again. You got to listen to God and obey God to fully experience God. Let me say that one more time. You gotta listen to God and you gotta obey God to fully experience God. Jesus said it this way. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. See, that know there is a speaks to intimacy, speaks to being close to them. Jesus said, my sheep, the ones who belong to me, they know my voice. They hear me, they obey me and they follow me. See, saints, to be closer with Jesus, to be closer with God, you gotta increase your obedience factor. You know, we're not saved by works, but God has works that he's prepared for us. He has a way he tells us and wants us to live. He's holy, so we ought to be holy. You can't get closer to God just living any kind of way. You know, you gotta increase your obedience level. You got to increase your time with the Lord. That's why, once again, going into 2018, let's keep one another accountable. Say, hey, are you reading in the scriptures today? Did you read the daily bread today? Did you read something in the New Testament or Old Testament today? And not just reading. Let me give you another challenge. As you're reading, maybe try to memorize. I'm going to make it easy for you. Low-hanging fruit. Maybe try to memorize one verse a week. Y'all with me? Y'all getting quiet right there. Y'all getting quiet. One verse a week. Just one verse. You can memorize more, but just if you memorize one verse a week, guess what? This time next year, you would have memorized 52 verses of the Bible. And I promise you, out of those 52 verses, many of them you're going to need going through 2018. So let's keep everybody accountable. I'm going to be asking, what you reading, brother? What you reading, sister? You memorizing anything? See, these shepherds, once again, they heard God. They obeyed God. And that brought them closer to God. They got to see Jesus. Because they were obedient, they had an opportunity to get their praise on. See, look at verse 20 again. So they left there glorifying and praising God. I wonder if the reason that many Christians, not you all, the ones that didn't come today or the ones that go to other churches, not you all. I wonder the reason that many Christians don't praise God often, or don't worship God often, or don't glorify God often. I wonder it's because they don't go see. They don't apply his truth often. They don't go and spend time with him. I wonder if that's the reason we don't praise and worship him like we should. Because I promise you, if you're spending time with him, if you're in the word of God, if you listen to a little good little gospel music every now and then, you're talking to some other saints or listen to some preaching every now and then, you're going to glorify him. You're going to praise him. You're going to shout hallelujah every now and then. If you meditate on who he is, his goodness, his glory, you can't help but to praise him and worship him. I think I shared this a few weeks ago. I was driving down 153 several weeks ago, and I didn't have no music on. I didn't have anything on. I was just thinking about the goodness of God, thinking about the goodness of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. And the next thing I know, I just said, hey, I just hollered out. I wasn't caring about who was around me. The person over there in the other lane probably said, that guy over there crazy. I just hollered out. Something about God, the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ. You know, you can't contain yourself. You can't control yourself sometimes. So these brothers, these shepherds, they came and saw Jesus. They left there glorifying God and praising God. They were doing what the angels were doing a few verses before, remember? Because they saw Jesus, they were praising God, glorifying God. I tell you this afternoon, if you just apply the word of God, what, I often say, our knowledge level of the word of God, our knowledge level far exceeds our obedience level. Let me say that again. Our knowledge level of the word far exceeds our obedience level. You know, I'm encouraged to get more Bible, but many of us, if I just obey what I already know, if I just follow what I already know, if I just apply what I already know, I can be further down the road. Oftentimes, our obedience level, it doesn't come up to our knowledge level. So they were praising God for what they had heard and seen. I love that. What they had heard and seen. See, it's one thing to get somebody else's account of what the Lord has done. I mean, big mama's account is okay. Granddaddy's account is okay. Mom and dad's account is okay. The next door neighbor, their account is okay. The Sunday school teacher, their account is okay. But you need to go see for yourself. You need to go see for yourself. Oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. You need to go see for yourself. So what mama was saying, that was one thing. What grandma was saying, that's one. But oh, I know for myself now that Jesus is a healer. He is a savior. He is a way maker. I know for myself. I've gone to see. And then I can praise him for what I've heard, but also what I've seen. Oh, you ought to have a testimony. You ought to have a testimony that the Lord, he indeed comes through every time. He is our way out of no way. He's our bridge over troubled water. He is the balm of Gilead. Come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. This is a true Christmas story. The true Christmas story is about the birth of Christ. The true Christmas story. But watch this. The true Christmas story is not just about the birth of Christ. It's also about his sinless life. He lived and never sinned. His sin-free life. When he walked here on earth, the Bible says he cleansed the lepers. I mean, he allowed the blind to see. He allowed the lame to walk and the mute to talk. He cast out demons. As a matter of fact, one time this guy was in the graveyard, just hanging out in the graveyard. You all know the biblical account. And Jesus, he had many demons, this guy did. And Jesus cast out the demons. And so this guy was a fool. He was breaking chains and doing all kinds of stuff. And the Bible said the next time they saw him, he was in a good place. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. So Christmas is about the birth of Christ. Christmas is about the life of Christ. How this woman with the issue of blood just pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? Somebody touched me. And this lady who touched Jesus, she was healed. Watch this. She was healed not only physically, but she also was healed spiritually. Another time, Jesus was preaching and teaching in his house, and they cut a roof in the house and let down this guy on a bed, and he was paralyzed. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And people begin to murmur and say, who can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. Yes, Jesus is God. And so Jesus heard them murmuring, and Jesus said, what's greater, to forgive his sin or to make him walk? He said, well, make him walk. And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and walked. So Christmas, this is the real Christmas story. Christmas is not just about the birth of Christ. Christmas is also about the life of Christ. But watch this, the real Christmas story. Christmas is not just about the birth of Christ, not just about the life of Christ, but also about the death of Christ. Christ died on Calvary's cross. And even while he was dying, he had two thieves on each side. And initially, both of them were hurling insults at him. And finally, one of them got a little sense. And he told the other one, let's stop hurling insults at this man. Because this man in the middle has done nothing wrong. He said, but you and me, we deserve to be up here. That was him admitting that he was a sinner. And Jesus looked at him. Now, he said, Jesus, I remember me. And Jesus looked at him, the one that we celebrate his life, the true Christmas. So Jesus looked at him and said, this day you will be with me in paradise. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of Christ. It's about the life of Christ. It's about the death of Christ. But wait a minute. It's not just about the birth of Christ. It's not just about the life of Christ. Not just about the death of Christ. It's also about the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the real Christmas story. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. See, he wasn't going to have to use it too long. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. And then early that third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He got up with all power. He's a resurrected Lord and Savior. But wait a minute. Christmas is not just about the birth of Christ. Christmas is not just about the life of Christ. Christmas is not just about the death of Christ. Christmas is not just about the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is also about the fact that he walked the earth 40 more days. He walked the earth 40 more days. Appeared to some ladies, and then he appeared to the disciples, and he talked to them, and they handled him. And then one of the disciples, old Thomas was not there. And they told Thomas, we've seen the risen Savior. We've seen the Messiah. And Thomas said, no, I don't believe it. No, I can't believe it. The only way I'm going to believe it is if I see him myself and take my hand and put it into his nail prints. And so a week later, Jesus shows up again. And then Jesus said, come here, Thomas. Put your hand in my nail prints. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. But wait a minute. Christmas is not just about the birth of Christ. It's not just about the life of Christ. It's not just about the death of Christ. It's not just about the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about him walking the earth 40 more days, but it's also about his ascension back into heaven. His ascension back into heaven. And I see those angels. They looked up, and the men of Galilee were looking up, and these angels said, why y'all stand here gazing up in the sky? This same Jesus is coming back again one day. Merry Christmas. So Christmas, wait a minute, it's not just about the birth of Christ. It's not just about the life of Christ. It's not just about the death of Christ. It's not just about the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about him walking the earth 40 days. It's not just about him ascending back in heaven. Watch this. It's about his intercessory prayer. Him praying for you and for me. He's in heaven. The Bible says he lives to make intercession for us. I don't know about you, but I can make it if Jesus is praying for me. I can make it if Christ is praying for me. I can make it if he's praying for me. But wait a minute. This is a true Christmas story. Merry Christmas 8 days earlier. Wait a minute. It's not just about his birth. It's not just about his sinless life. It's not just about his death on the cross. It's not just about his burial and his resurrection. It's not just about him walking the earth 40 more days. It's not just about him ascending back into heaven. It's not just about his intercessory prayer life for you and for me. It's also about his second coming. It's also about the fact he's coming back again one day. Oh, he's coming back again one day. I say he's coming back again one day. So it's not just about his birth. It's not just about his life. It's not just about his death on the cross. It's not just about his burial. It's not just about his resurrection. It's not just about him walking 40 more days. It's not just about his ascension. It's not just about his intercession. But it's also about his second coming. And watch this. It's about the fact that if you're in Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, you get to spend eternity with him. You get to spend forever with him. You get to be in glory forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Forever and forever. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas is about. It's not so much about trees and gifts and all. It's about Jesus Christ. His birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his prayer life. He's coming back for us and we're going to be with him forevermore. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas is about. Oh, you ought to give him some praise. If you know him, you ought to give him some praise this morning. You ought to say hallelujah. You ought to say thank you, Lord. Thank you that Christmas is even much more than just your birth. It's your life. It's your death. It's your resurrection. It's you praying for us. It's the fact that we're going to be together forever. Are you glad you're going to be with Jesus forevermore? Aren't you glad you're going to be with him forevermore? Jesus Christ, the true Christmas story. The true Christmas story. Yeah, the true Christmas story. Oh, give him some praise one more time. I'm glad by God's grace. I know the true meaning of Christmas. I know the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas. That's the real Christmas story. That's the true Christmas story. That's the real Christmas story. That's the real Christmas story. If you can stand, please stand. Just sing to the Lord. Just sing to our Lord and Savior this morning, since prayerfully we all know the true meaning of Christmas now.